Beyond any words, beyond anything, I will tell you that is just prayer in expression, the music, the tones, the way it touches our hearts and how we feel when you play and when you harmonize and the beautiful music today. Thank you. Oh, goodness. So during the summertime, we have been in a series called You Asked For It, and this Sunday and next Sunday will be the last two in the series where I'm answering the questions that you have asked and wanted to hear something about. So today I'll be speaking on a question that Emil Toth submitted, and he said, would you care to share a special moment or a special spiritual experience that you've had? And I sat with that for a while, in tuning into what I wanted to share and what I wanted to talk to you about. And so the talk title for today is called Moments of Light. Next week, I'll actually be addressing the question that Janine Replogle requested some information on, and she was curious about prayer and meditation, about being able to still all the thoughts in your mind. And so both of these will tie in together, but I want us to begin by taking a look at how, as human beings, especially in the Western world, we kind of seek, we quest, we want to know and we want to understand God, do we not? And we have a lot of different words to describe God. You notice that I oftentimes say many things: Yahweh, divine being, pure spirit. Because in the English language, of course, God was good, God, good, from Germanic. And throughout, and that was because of the translations into the King's language, English. And we can go back to many of the names of God that were in the Bible: Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, I am that I am. And we realize that throughout all of time, there is that part of us, that curiosity in us naturally, that seeks to know that which is greater than ourselves. And yet, in this century of seeking knowledge, and in this, especially in the Western world, of praising our intellect, which is a fabulous and a wonderful tool we have, we misunderstand the difference between our brain and what in the spiritual world is referred to as mind. Charles Fillmore often talked about mind, or he talked about heart-mind, mind-heart. And so we confuse it when we hear mind, because as egoically based human physical beings, this reality is what we tend to focus on. We tend to kind of, because it's what we see. So we don't know that there's something oftentimes so much greater than that. And because it is important for us to have a sense of control, a sense of our destiny, a sense of what's happening, a sense of being supported, of how do we navigate through life. And because we have been taught from childhood through many generations to rely on our brain intelligence, we sometimes forget the true intelligence of the mind of Godness that is inherent in all of us. And so we tend to seek our experiences of God in a way that we can touch, that we can define, that we can specifically name, right? And yet the places where we experience that which we would call the essence of all that is, that which is being, pure source, lies in the realm that is mystical, that touches our hearts in a way that nothing else does. And we only touch into that in those moments when we're willing to be open to the flow. And so we practice many activities. We practice our meditation. We practice our prayer. We seek to learn how to make that connection. And yet it is a connection. It is a presence that is with us all the time, everywhere, all around. Charles Fillmore, in his book, Atom Smashing, Power of Mind, I'd like to share a couple of different quotes from that. He says, people ask why God does not reveal himself now as he did in Bible days. And of course, Charles Fillmore, this was written 100+ years ago. And so he still is writing in that, the idea that sounds like a man or a physical figure. And Charles Fillmore was not really relating to God in that way. But it, so just to say reveals itself, godness reveals itself now as in Bible days. Because you hear of so many people having experiences in the Bible, right? Of Saul and his experience and all the many people who wrote stories. Charles Fillmore goes on to say, the fact is that God is talking to people everywhere, but they do not understand the message and brush it aside as an idle dream. Intuition, friends, those little gentle nudgings, those things that move us forward, how often do we really listen? How often do we give it as much credence as we would a fact? You know, a scientific fact or something that we can touch and lay hold of. And so he is speaking about cultivating a different understanding so that we transcend the activity of the intellectual brain part of our mind. We do not discount that because it's a wonderful tool that we can use when we utilize it as opposed to letting it utilize us. And yet we transcend it. He says, those who cultivate communion with the Father within, with Godness within, with pure being, divine source within, become conscious of a guiding light. Great is the mystery of godliness, and still greater is the capacity, our capacity for godliness. When spirit responds to the seeking mind and begins to reveal the magnitude of that undiscovered country within us, we long for a new language with words describing glories beyond all human comparison. Friends, this is the experience that transcends that which we can verbally say, because sometimes we just, our hearts don't have words. When we have those aha moments that take us to another realm, we often don't have words to describe. From scripture in 2 Corinthians, it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, or it also says that word might be reveal, the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is spirit. And from Job 32:8, it says, but it is spirit in a person, spirit, the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. And going on for James 1:5, it says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Friends, what we are being told here, what we are being invited into, is an awareness that in that great desire within us to seek to know, to understand, to be connected to God, it invites us into that which transcends our physical realm and takes us into that which we call the mystical, that which we call beyond outer sight, beyond our five senses, into the intuition, into the depth of all that is of creation. When you stop to think of our universe, man, I sometimes don't even think about it because it's so mind-boggling. It's like I can't even wrap my head around it. Well, that's the whole point. The vastness of godness, of that experience, is so much greater than anything we can try to define. It's like, let's stop trying to define. Let's just be willing to go in the flow and be with that presence and experience that which is in that mystical realm. I looked up a definition of a mystic as a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with deity or the absolute, or who believes in the spiritual apprehension of truths that are beyond the intellect. And mysticism is a doctrine of an immediate spiritual intuition of truths believed to transcend ordinary understanding, or of a direct intimate union of the soul with God. From James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. The Father of lights, moments of light. Friends, when we seek that greater connection, which we all do in varying moments, whether it's a moment of challenge in our lives, or whether it's a new step that we're taking, or whether it's an immense celebration, it is an opportunity for us to begin connecting in ways that we do not have to define, that we do not have to ascribe to anything specific, but where we truly, with open seeking hearts, simply allow ourselves moment by moment to allow that presence, that Father of lights, to reveal itself to us. If we are willing to listen, to hear, to be receptive. So I have, throughout my life, been on a journey since actually I was a child. Many of you know I started Unity when I was about 8 or 9. That was through my own choice and experience that I had. And I've been in Unity all that time. I've also gone to different trainings and transcendental meditation and just so many things. In my spiritual unfolding, as we all do in our own way. No one is any greater than any other. We each have our own unique path. And throughout that time, there was a great deal of me trying to define, to figure out, to do it right, to pray the good way, you know, to get results. Sorry, I'm hung up on myself here. Here we go. And in that process, in moments unexpected, there were those moments of light. And the first one I want to share with you, I may have shared before, but it is around a profound experience for me. I had known since I was at Unity Village when I was in high school, having touched, actually I forgot, I wasn't going to share that moment, but it was a moment. It was a prayer, and it was a time when we were there for a while. And I felt that stirring. It was like this immense ball of light just shining from the inside out. And I knew somehow ministry was a part of my path. I didn't know how or when, and I knew it wasn't right then. And so I went on to live my life and over the next 20 years, served in my Unity Church. I was the assistant to the minister. I was a prayer chaplain. I was on the board. I was involved in many deeper spiritual practices and sought to have that experience. And it's all a part of life. We all go through varying spiritual experiences at varying times. And everyone asked me, well, when are you going to go into ministry? In my platforming, I did most of the service other than just playing the talk, although sometimes I did the talk too. And I thought, you know, that's okay. This is enough. What I'm doing, this must be my ministry. This must have been what that urging was way back when I was in high school. I think it's enough, right? Have any of you been there? You think, what I'm doing, I'm right on track. This is fine. Then all of a sudden everything changes. Yeah. So I had a balloon decor business. I did big events and balloon decorations, and so that meant I was in a van and I carried helium tanks in the back of my van, and I devised a system that sort of had them kind of in place so that they wouldn't come flying through. So early one morning I'm out on the freeway in San Pedro, and all of a sudden there's very few cars. It was early. I was on on a delivery. And I see the car in front of me just swerve. And I'm like, and then what I saw was this sheet of metal, you know, probably 3 or 4 foot by 4 foot, slightly curved up, right in the middle of the road. And I'm in a big van. I'm on a freeway at 65, you know. And what I remember is swerving to miss it and then realizing that my van was turning over on its side. And I can remember being in the van and going, I'm still okay. I'm still okay. I'm still okay. And that's all I remember as the van flipped over all the way onto its roof, came back up on all four tires and slammed into the center meridian. And I'm there like, whoa, and shaking and going, I'm still okay. I'm still okay. I'm still okay. And all these people are running and they're coming to see if I'm all right. And they took me in an ambulance and I strained some muscles. I had a little cut in my eye, but I walked away from that. Now what happened afterwards is that place that we often find ourselves in questioning. It was like, well, why me? Have any of you ever wondered, you know, in prayer, well, I pray for something that doesn't happen, or circumstances in your life that are challenging, and you think, oh, I'm going to get this job and I don't. Well, it was quite conflicting for me in the heart of my being when I was trying to understand, okay, does God somehow save some of us and not all of us, or what was this whole experience about? And it took me a while to explore that and to come to terms with it, because it was quite conflicting within. What was so important about me, or why did I survive and someone else would not? And what I will tell you is it was not, the answer that came had not to do with any of that. The spiritual moment that was so precious was when, for just a space of time, I let myself feel the fear, the sadness, reliving the experience, and just opening my heart to say, why, God, why? And in that moment, it was, and you know, again, to put words onto something, it's really hard to describe, but Christ, Jesus, there was light and this sense of the presence of Jesus laying his hand on my shoulder. And he said, beloved, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. And it was at that time when I realized I had been sidestepping my own fears or my own decision around going into ministry. And it was at that time when I knew God was saying, okay, Sandy, you've had enough time. Get up and go now. And so that started the process for me. I had no idea what it would be. I thought, oh, you know, I've been in Unity so long, it won't be that big of a deal. I called Unity School, and there were several amazing miracles that would take me too long to say, but things that I had done in the past 2 years that enabled me to move forward on this process to be on a sort of a high-speed stream in order to be a part of the class that I entered, which was the last class that resided at Unity Village. We called it the Bridge Class. It was the first class that went through at a master's degree level class, though, of course, Unity Village is not an accredited college. They were seeking that, but they weren't at the time. All of these circumstances led me to being in that place and in that moment. And to this day, when I face challenges, I remember, though I can't define it and I can't always put it into words, I remember what it felt like to be in the presence of a spirit of love and grace that was reminding me of my truth and of my path. And it's something that has helped me move forward in so many challenging moments of my life. So I'd like to share one other experience also, fast forwarding into being at Unity Village in seminary and ministry school. Whew, that took a lot. I had no idea what it would take to clear out my business, to clear out my home, to find somebody to live in it when they weren't supposed to be allowed to. I had a mobile home. You weren't supposed to sublease. Things all fell into place and enabled me to go back to Unity Village. That's God singing right there. Yeah. So it's a challenging experience to be with a small group of people who have gone through a great honing process. Only about 50% of the people who apply are then accepted into the program. So we were a class of about 22. And we met day in and day out. We lived in close proximity. I will tell you, you begin to discover stuff about yourself you had no clue, right? So you were there in this intellectual experience of learning about the Bible, of learning about theology and spiritual aspects, and you're in all that process, but you're mostly in what they call the hidden curriculum. So the hidden curriculum is that honing spiritual process that we're brought into when we are face to face with people who we can no longer keep that little egoic sort of persona in place about us, right? You know that place? You know the face that you put out to the world where I'm cool, I can handle this. I've got it all under control. Everything's fine. Please don't anybody look in my closet or in my head or in my heart, right? Yeah. So here you are face to face with people over time and all your stuff comes up and it's challenging and it's questioning. And then because you're there and because everything spiritually is coming up to be explored, to be understood, to want to be able to walk in a place of openly and honestly and authentically being with a congregation, with people, sharing. Questions come. How many of you have ever questioned, how do I pray? What's the right way to pray? I think we've all had some kind of an idea around that. And we might have prayed one way. There's so many ways of prayer. There's supplication. There's asking. There's being in the silence. There's surrendering. There's all these different ways to pray. Well, I was challenged, you know, about two-thirds of the way through my program. I've served in silent unity and was praying with people on the phones and was trying to make it through at a master's degree level when, I'm a bright woman and I hadn't been in school since I was in my, 20s. And here I am writing papers and doing this, all this reading and 4 hours of sleep a night because I'm reading, a book a night and going through all this stuff. And I'm sitting in the prayer chapel and I'm going, seriously, come on. Does prayer really work? What's the deal with prayer? How many of you have asked that? Yeah. And of course, in some moments we absolutely, participate in prayer. We know prayer works in some way or another. And other times we're like, really? How can that possibly be? And I was at a low point. I was challenged. And we were all invited to just go out and walk the grounds at Unity Village. And so I walked with my disbelief, with my angst, with my anger, with all the challenges. And I cannot tell you because it wasn't something that I did. It wasn't something, okay, this is the formula, so if I do this, this will happen. It came unbidden in a moment as I was walking around
this place of such a deep inner knowing that prayer is viable. And then my brain is trying to figure it out. Well, like, are there certain words? There was none of that. It was just so deep in the core of my being. It was a moment of light. It wasn't something that I earned, something that I did something for. It simply was the gift in a moment where I was open enough that that light shone so deeply inside of me. I have never forgotten it. Now, it doesn't mean as I come back into the physical world that I don't question, that I don't still go through all the things that we do at that human level as human beings. But friends, I know what that felt like. I know that experience. And in the times when it's the most challenging, I can go back to that moment of absolute pure awareness and recognize that in that mystical realm, beyond this physical universe, there is something so vast and so great that it truly is there in the most magnificent and loving, complete light beingness way you can possibly even imagine. And it's what helped me then complete and get all the way on through school. So in responding, Emil, he said, share a little bit of your heart with me, with all of us. It's not easy to put into words when we each have those moments, and we each have had them, but in varying ways. Sometimes it's a big aha. Sometimes it's like Saul on the road to Damascus, who had been persecuting the Christians and all of a sudden was blinded by light so great that he had an instant transformation. Along the path of life, there are constant little moments, constant moments, everyday moments, where we experience that which is part of the mystical element of our universe. It is the nature of God. And it's all around us. It's in the trees. It's in the sunlight. It's in the butterflies and the hummingbirds and the waves on the ocean. It's that element that is with us when we are in pain, when we are in sadness. It's the element that is with us, that celebrates with us when we are in joy. And as we choose to take time to simply remember, to be part of the life experience that is the flow of God in all of us all the time, we will begin to notice it more. Because what oftentimes happens for all of us is we have an idea, we have a definition. This is God, right? This is God, or this is spirit, or this is the way to pray. Or so we're looking there and going, God, I don't see you. How many of you have done that, have prayed and say, God, you're not there? What the heck? This is all a bunch of baloney. I've done it many, 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 many times. I will do it more so at times. And yet all of a sudden we realize God is everywhere around us going, hello. Hello, I'm here. No, no, not you, not you. Wait, I'm looking for this. And then we miss, and we miss. Peace Pilgrim was a woman, Mildred Norman, who was a spiritual teacher and a mystic, peace activist. And she said, praying without ceasing, we've heard to pray without ceasing, it's not ritualized. In other words, there's not a form that we do, nor are there even words. It is a constant state of awareness of oneness with God. Friends, I'm inviting us to just experience our life's journey. There are ups and downs, and there are curves and turns, and there are things that are challenging and that we don't understand. And yet on the spiritual journey, as spiritual beings in a physical body, we are invited to just let ourselves be aware of the ways that we are loved and supported when we least expect it, when we least feel we deserve it, in a recognition that the presence of godness, of pure being, is everywhere all around us. And when we're willing to feel into that heart, when we step beyond the analytical, critical thinking brain and are just present, we see God in so many things around us and we experience life differently. Many of you are familiar with Brother David Steindl Ross. He was a Catholic Benedictine monk back in the... But he was an active interfaith dialogue proponent, and he said, the Holy Spirit wants to flow through us and realize all these wonderful possibilities in the world if only we open ourselves and allow it to happen. So friends, I invite you to open yourself to journeying in the mystic world, to being willing to step outside of the intellect and the mind knowing and to just be present, to notice God in things all around us and to know it's not a person or a thing, it's all of creation. And it is a part of, we're designed in that image, it's a part of who we live into and who we become. And enjoy the journey along the way. So in closing, I'll share two very short quotes. One is from poet Emily Dickinson. She says, the soul should always stand ajar, ready to become the ecstatic experience. What would it be like to live our lives with our souls ajar, our minds tucked over here for a little bit, our brains over here, our souls ajar, for those moments of light that touch us beyond any worldly understanding. And spiritual author and TV medium Jody Lavon says, and this is our advice for this next week, be yourself. Fill yourself up with light and fly. That's oneness with God, friends. Let's practice being in the presence. Let's practice recognizing a life that is different because we acknowledge God is everywhere present, always.